الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If someone is running a race and someone is training to run a race and they want to run the race well, they look for every small advantage that they can get to be efficient and to give them any advantage they can to win the race. Whether it's a running race or a swimming meet, I mean, people who are swimmers, they know that even anything in terms of the clothing being a little bit loose will create some type of friction with the water, could slow them down a little bit, and because of that, that would mitigate their possibility or advantage in the race, because over there people win these meets by, you know, milliseconds. So we see that anytime that there's any type of competition, people try to boost their chances of winning by doing whatever they can. And they try to remove those type of things that would make it less likely for them to win. You know, people who are good runners, they want the best shoes, even the clothing they're wearing. They're going to pick out every single thing that they can to try to minimize anything weighing them down from getting ahead. Similarly, when someone is racing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, when someone is racing towards His rahmah, when someone is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, then they also have to be very careful to remove all of the anchors that are going to prevent them from progressing. It doesn't make sense for anyone to say that I'm going to be running a 100 meter sprint and then they wear lead shoes. Doesn't make any sense. So when one is sprinting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's many different types of leaden shoes that a person can put on. And one of those type of shoes that a person can put on that creates a tremendous amount of friction in terms of their ability to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when the heart is full of what we call bughd or hiqd. When the heart, because, you know, we adorn our hearts, we don't adorn our feet when you're running. How do you race towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You race with your heart. You don't race with your feet. And so the heart has to be as light as possible. The heart has to be as clean as possible. Because any speck, right, any type of impurity on the heart, it becomes an impediment towards progress. It's, you know, like when you have a very smooth ball and you're rolling it on the table, if there's any type of imperfection on the smoothness of the ball, it's going to mitigate how fast it's going to roll across the table. In this very same way, one of the things that really makes it difficult for a person to move forward is when they have bad feelings, hatred, spite for another, what we call hiqd. And sometimes this is not something that we talk about a lot, but it's actually and it's funny that we don't, because it's so prevalent that people have grudges. And I was actually going to talk about, I mean, as recent as 5 or 10 minutes ago, I was going to talk about something completely different. It just came in my heart that we should talk about this. So when a person's heart is sullied and made filthy with having bad feelings towards another, then that person is not able to interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with clarity. He is not able to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at full speed ahead. And sometimes people think, you know, I'm doing so many good deeds, I'm doing everything right, I'm not I'm not even hurting anyone. I didn't even say anything bad to anyone. But they fail to look inside about how they feel about others. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't say anything. But you felt a certain way. And sometimes even feeling the wrong way is enough to become problematic. One time, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told someone to the effect that, do you want to see a person of from the people of Jannah, the Sahaba? They said, of course. So he said, that person is a person from the people of Jannah. I'm paraphrasing. So one of the people, he said that I wanted to find out what he does. Right? They wanted to, what is so special about him. And in staying with him, they saw that there was nothing, quote unquote, extraordinary. Nothing that would have been, subhanAllah, this is the wali of the time. But it was one simple act. Right? At the end of their parting, he said, I didn't see you doing anything special. He said that every time, every night before we go to sleep, or I go to sleep, I clean my heart so I have no bad feeling towards another Muslim. It's not a small thing. It was based on this that he became a person from the people of Jannah. It's not a small thing. When you look at the people who will be forgiven on Nisf Sha'ban, right? Everyone is forgiven. I mean, people, our forgiveness is just going on and on and on and on, except for whom? What are one of the people who become mahroom from this rahmah and this maghfirah? Is people who have malice in their heart towards another. Just malice. Again. And it's not specified necessarily, right, that, you know, did the person do something else? Was it founded? Was it not founded? But this ill will towards another. And a person, when they have it inside, they know it. It makes you feel uneasy. You try to bury it away. You try to ignore it. You can go into denial. But when you have these bad feelings, they're very deeply entrenched. And you don't feel clean. Right? If you're looking and you notice that it's there, then you know that it's your... I know one of the mashayikh, when he was like going to give a talk somewhere, if he had gone into any type of altercation with another individual, first he would go and clear it up with that person before he gave the bayan. Because he says, if my heart is like this, what effect will I have on anyone else? I mean, they could not rest. They could feel that immediately when that, regardless of whose problem it was, regardless of whose fault it was, because there was some type of niza, some type of argumentation, some types of ill will that had come in, they could already feel the difference in their relationship with Allah. And they said, I need to fix this first before I can actually do any work of the deen. Where do bad feelings come from? It doesn't come out of a vacuum. It's not like you're sitting one day and say, you know, I don't like that person's shirt. Let me start having bad feelings towards him. People don't do that. Normal, noble, good people don't do that. You just don't get up one day and say, you know what? I don't like my second cousin. People don't do that. Anytime a person has a bad feeling towards another person, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. This person said X, Y, and Z. That person did X, Y, and Z. Right? Or else why would anyone have bad feelings towards another? Something happened. There's history. There's always history. And it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. But there's history, right? And now when you have history, what happens is that there's some type of altercation, some type of argumentation. And shaitan loves this because he takes a small thing and he starts amplifying it, right? Classic example is between husband and wife. Classic happen. No, and people think that hiqd, as soon as we start talking about hiqd and both and hatred, we're immediately thinking about, okay, which one is that distant relative that I had bad feelings for? Or which one is that friend or acquaintance that was my best friend and then I didn't talk to him? Don't look that far. Look at home. It's very possible that a child has bughd towards his parents. Mom and dad never let me do anything. Oh my God, my mom is such a pain. They might not say it, right? She totally doesn't get it. Why does she always have to be on my case? Children are like that. And sometimes they feel so much of a distance that they start keeping distance from their parents. Because like, I'd rather not deal with the problems. I'd rather not deal with them. They're so, you know, X, Y, and Z. You don't have to look far. Sometimes even mothers will feel both or hurt towards their children. These aren't children, these are demons. Where did you get them from? Right? Here, take your children. Right? When times are good, they're mera bacha, mera beta, right? And when it's, you know, the going gets tough, these are your children, take them, right? Because they're so up to their neck with whatever was going on. Now, look, did the kids give a hard time? Yeah, they might have given a hard time. But what comes in the heart? This bad feeling comes. Husband comes home, he says something, wife says something, it starts going back and forth. And then shaitan, immediately what he tries to do is he tries to, and this is where hiqd comes, shaitan comes in and he amplifies it. If you look at most situations why people have hiqd, and you were to write them on paper and present it to a third person, they would laugh. Like, you're mad at the other person because of this? Really? I mean, like our sheikh, he was giving a talk one time in, I think, in the UK, and he gave the story of the individual who got divorced from his wife. They've been married for like 20-something years over like toothpaste, right? And he was a PhD, and the other person was a PhD. And the person's like, how could you get married, you know, divorce each other over toothpaste? But it's always not that simple, right? Because what happens is that he does something a certain way. And then, you know, she says, no, you shouldn't do it like that. You're not proper. And he says, what do you mean I'm not proper? You're always criticizing me. She says, what do you mean I'm always criticizing you? I can't tell you anything good? He says, well, there's nothing good about you. And no, so shaitan takes one small thing and starts amplifying it. She says, you mean nothing good about me? I put up with your mother, my mother-in-law. I did this. And then she's thinking all of these things. And now you say something like this. So now she says something back, right? And then shaitan, what he likes to do is he likes to pull in the word that was where it began was something small, but he likes to pull in big things. Right? So the actual situation was very small, but he likes to attach something big to it. Right? Something that a person already has an emotional attachment to. So for example, in this situation between a husband and wife, the wife might make a very small comment, right? God, you're always late. So immediately what shaitan is a small statement, you're always late. What's the big problem, right? There's nothing. But shaitan, immediately he'll start putting in the husband's mind, like, doesn't she know that you're working so hard? And then he puts in the fact that you've been working 20 years at the same company and you go through so many politics at work. And that the whole emotional baggage about you trying to do good for your family, trying to do good for others, all of that baggage, so this itself didn't have much weight. That has a lot of weight. So as soon as something small happens, he tries to connect it to something which is very weighty. And as soon as he connects it to something weighty, then the emotions start getting higher and higher and higher. Because any of these things are not very big in and of themselves. Look, the children, what did they do? At the end of the day, if you really look, the husband comes home, he doesn't even get it. Why is the wife pulling her hair out? Like, what did they do? Did they kill you? Did they spit at you? Did they shout at you? What did they do? Right? They just like, they've been fighting. Well, what are kids going to do? Right? They fight. They're kids. But in the wife's mind, that's not what happened, right? Like the wife is saying that, mother is saying, I sacrifice everything for these children. These children are my life. They don't even care about me. They don't listen to me. I have no value in their eyes. So shaitan, again, taking something so big, right? These kids, there's no future for these kids. They're always going to be disobedient to me. Ma ka khayal bilkul nahi karte. I mean, so something small, attach it to something big. Now immediately it becomes big. And before you know it, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, then they don't even like to be around at home. Kids don't like to hang around at home. They look for an opportunity to just run out of the house. And this, you can take the same paradigm and you can apply it to every relationship. Relationships between relatives, right? Relationships between, you know, friends or people who were former friends. And even when people make up, right? Even when husband and wife make up, because they do, right? I mean, the fact that we make up, they still hold, they collect red stamps. They hold grudges. There's all these skeletons that they keep in the closet. So what happens is that you look like you've resolved the issue, everything's going fine. Next time, it takes a very little thing, and that spark brings all of that out from behind. Right? The wife is ready to mention something that happened in 1995. You remember that one time that you're like, this is 2015. You're remembering something for 20 years. Because what happened is that in 1995, whatever happened, it happened in 1995, but it's still with her today. I mean, you got past it, but it's not resolved. It's an unresolved conflict. And so, these type of grudges, these type of ill will, so a husband can have ill will towards the wife. Wife can have ill will towards the husband. One can have towards the children. One can have towards the parents. One can have towards acquaintances. And even though we still continue to meet with people, people carry these bad feelings inside. And the funniest thing is sometimes people have bad feelings towards others because of deen. That person doesn't follow my version of Islam. That person doesn't know use the color bandage that I like. Right? So he doesn't raise his hands before he goes into ruku, or this person follows a mazhab, or this person doesn't follow a mazhab. Mm-hmm. And on the basis of that, a person actually starts feeling bad and ill towards another people. So that you come to the masjid, you say salam to those people, but those other people, you're like, if I say salam to them, okay, if I don't say salam to them, no problem. And the basis of that is a person's deen. When the very thing that was made to bring people closer together starts driving people apart. It's the ultimate paradox. You find husband and wife. I mean, they're like husband and wife, very religious. They want their kid to become Hafiz. Wife says, no, he needs to study with this person. Husband says, no, you know, he can study with this teacher. That becomes a huge fight. No, and then to the point that they're thinking, can we even continue in this relationship? Why do you get confined in the first place? Because you want to make your kids Hafiz. Right? I mean, what happens? Shaitan takes it and he completely twists the picture until you completely lose perspective. Completely lose perspective. So deen should not be a reason for ill will. And really, what ultimately is plausible cause to have bad feelings towards any other Muslim? Or any other human being? What is a ground? A person might say, okay, well, if the person is kafir, then at least that is a ground for not liking them, right? For having a grudge, having ill will. Look at the ayah of the Quran. Actually, I just read it right before the talk. Subhanallah. I was actually just searching one word. I was looking for the word wasfah, right? And then this verse came up. And then when I read it, I said, Subhanallah. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَا يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. That a lot of the people of the Ahl al-Kitab, they would like, يَرُدُّوكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. That they want to make you a kafir after you were a mu'min. They're not just a kafir. They're not just a disbeliever. They're out to get you. You're a mu'min. They want to make you a kafir. حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Because they have this hasad inside them after the truth is very clear to them. So clearly, you have evil intent, you have bad intentions, and you have no deen. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell to engage or to deal with this type of situation? فَعْفُ وَصْفَهُ. Forgive them and overlook. He didn't say hold a grudge. He didn't say hate them. He said فَعْفُ وَصْفَهُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. And I'll tell you why it's so difficult for people to let go of these hard feelings. Number one, we said that you take something very small or very light and connects it to something very heavy. And when it becomes something very heavy, the nature of things that are heavy is they sink deep. Right? You take a bowling ball and throw it in the water, it's going to go down. It's not going to float. You take that, those things which are heavy, and put it in the heart, they sink deep in the heart. They have a lot of emotion. They're emotionally loaded. So it's very deep. And the reason that people find it so hard to let go is they say, well, if I let go, then they're just going to get away with it. If I let go, that person said this and this and this is just not fair. Right? They feel like by letting go that they've lost something. They don't understand that by holding these bad feelings inside, they're burning themselves up from inside. They don't see that they're hurting themselves. When a person has hit, when a person has bukht towards another or hatred towards others, and Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he said that bukht is that hatred or is a manifestation of anger that overcomes the mind. It's just a manifestation of anger, because that's what happens, right? When you hate someone, it's an intense sense of anger. So when that person has bukht, or you have bukht, or you have hatred directed towards that person, and you want to let go, it's hard to let go because you feel like that person did X, Y, and Z, and it keep, and when you want to even start letting go, then the shaitan comes and backs and reminds you, oh, they said that, and how could they do that? And you're about to let go, and then they said, no, 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 how could you let go? That's not, I mean, how could they have done that? Right? This is not even fair. They should never treat you like that. That's why it becomes that initial part of just letting go of the ill feeling. So, the point I wanted to make first is that when a person has ill feeling, the person that you have bad feelings towards, they don't even know about it. They don't even care. They're just going on happily in their life. They don't know that you have bad feelings and ill will towards them. Like the person that you really, 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 really hate, they're just living their life. And if that person was that evil to really hurt you, right? They probably don't care even if you did. You were burning up inside. They're like, fine, you burn in your own heft. I care less. They didn't care about you in the first place. Why? That's why they did what they did. And then later on afterwards, they're just going to look back and they say, who cares? So when a person has hit, the first idea is just like envy. When you have envy towards the other person, it burns you. It doesn't burn the other person. Right? It hurt, and that's the same thing with anger, the same thing with hit. It hurts you, not the other person. And then when you want to let go, a person says, no, how can I let go? It's not going to be fair. And that actually comes, and it didn't occur to me until I read this verse right now. Hatta ya'ti Allah bi amri. Right? You just overlook and let go, Allah will take care of it. Nothing is lost to Allah. If a person hurts another person's heart, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't notice. If a person said something bad to someone else, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't notice. If a husband for 10 years has been doing constant zulm on the wife, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't notice. If a wife completely rails against her husband for 10 years, giving him a hard time, and husband keeps on letting go, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't notice. Nothing is lost. It's all there. Kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, but you don't take care of it. Just leave it to me. There are rights, there are hukuk, there are parameters that you don't cross. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you rise to the higher level of morality, leave them to me. Leave them to, why do you want vigilante justice? People want to take it in their own hand and it's like, I'll show you. And the funny thing is, usually when it's I show you, you get shown. You don't show the other person. Unfortunately, right, the way of the world, because you have very little leverage over other people. But Allah qadirun ala kulli shay. If someone's really done you in, Allah will take care of it. Hasadam min andi anfusi min ba'di ma tabayyana lahum al-haq. فَأَفُوا أَنْهُمْ وَصْفَهُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. And I think actually that's the next verse. Subhanallah. I mean, you know, sometimes you think what the next logical thing would be, and like, I didn't occur to me, but that's the next verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is able to do everything. You might not be able to enact your vengeance. You might not be able to effect anything. But Allah can do everything, so just leave it to Him. When a person does that, their heart automatically becomes open and you feel light. Right? When you start dropping these ill wills and malice and feelings of hatred, you feel light. And when something is light, it can ascend. When something is heavy, it sinks. you develop buoyancy, right? That's really the concept. When you develop buoyancy by just letting go. There's another verse in the Quran. It's a longer verse. I won't read the whole beginning portion of them. وَلَا تَزَالُ تَتَّلِعُ عَلَىٰ خَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And you will not stop from finding out this different type of khiyana, this different types of deception, this different types of treachery that these people do. Illa qalilan minhum, except for, no, a couple of them. Fa'fu anhum, so just let go. Wasfah, and overlook. And I was actually thinking about this. When you look, thinking about fa'fu, the concept of af, you know, you just read the translation, it just says forgive them. Wasfah, right, and overlook. And if you think of the normal development or normal process, how it goes, the best case scenario is you can forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. You completely wipe it out. Sometimes people forgive, but they don't forget, right? Again, getting back into that collecting red stamps. And that's not healthy. Right? That's not healthy because until you really let go, you're still holding on an anchor. That anchor still exists in your heart. It's lighter, it's less than before, but it's still there. The best thing is just to release it altogether. But the idea is, al-af is to completely erase something. Completely erase something. And what happens is when a person has really bad feelings, they say dil kharab ho gaya, right? My heart is like feeling really bad towards another person, and you're trying to get over it. Then what happens is first you have to get to the point where you can tell yourself, you know what, for the sake of Allah, because I want Allah to forgive me, I'm going to forgive this person. You have to give yourself some type of motivation. Sometimes you have to tell yourself. I mean, some people have the type of morality that where they can just let go, right? And that's a level of ihsan. And yes, people can achieve a moral status where they just let go because they're just that good. And actually, that's the verse right here. Because when I say, فَعَفُوا عَنْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ فَعَفُوا عَنْهُمْ وَصْفًا, do af, overlook, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are muhsineen. So if you reach the level of ihsan, then people who are the awliya, then they can let go, right? It's easy for them. And that's part of the reason that they became awliya, right? Because they kept on letting go. They have loves those type of people. That you have a right to be angry, you have a right because you're wrong, but you let it go because it was a higher ethos to live upon. Fa'afu anhu, wasfah. But know what happens is then, sometimes, okay, you're arguing with yourself, you're struggling with yourself, you're saying, how do I get that? You know, who's going to think of them? Shaitan saying, okay, but that person will get away with it. Then you tell shaitan immediately, Allah will take care of them. If there's anything in the akhirah, we'll take care of it in the akhirah. And I'll tell you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of things in the akhirah. Right? A person will see, you know, there was two people who had a problem between themselves. The person, he'll be looking and he'll see these palaces, right? These castles in Jannah, right? These castles in Jannah. And that person will say, ask Allah, who will these castles be for, Ya Allah? Who are these castles for? Who are these palaces for? Which Nabi, you know, which Wali? And he said, it's for whoever has the price. And he said, what is the price? Is that you forgive your brother. Even there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still trying to bring muwafaqah between individuals. He said that you forgive your brother, and that person will say, it's worth it, right? I mean, what am I going to get about throwing this guy in Jahannam? I get nothing out of it. I get nothing out of it. But if I let go of him, I get Jannah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to give that person that degree of reward for something they're seeing mu'ayyanatan, right? In front of their eyes, they're seeing it, and then they let go, and he says, now you can, and literally they'll hold hands together and they'll walk into Jannah together. If Allah is willing to give that reward for someone who has seen it with their eyes, then what do you think about that person who does that within the realm of the ghaib? You just heard this hadith, you just heard this in a lecture. You have some hope that Allah will deal with you nicely on the day of Qiyamah, and you say, you know what, let me just do it. what type of reward will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold? بطريق الأولى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give such a person such a reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So the best situation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you look at the whole thrust of the deen, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring muwafaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves unity, and He hates discord. That's a general theme in the deen. That's a motif in the deen, if you will. All these different ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring muwafaqah between husband and wife. When shaitan, and shaitan's general motif is what? To bring people apart. That's why when everyone comes back at the end of the day and they said, I did this shaitani kam, I did this bad thing. Shaitans listen to them because all the shaitan, they give report at headquarters, right? At HQ over the water. When shaitan is sitting on his throne. And one person, he says that I made a husband and wife, you know, get into a discord or split them up. And he says, Naam anta. He said, you come here, right? You're my boy. Right? You're the real one. Because shaitan loves that type of thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates that type of thing. That's why abghadul halali at-talaq. The most hated of those things which are halal is talaq. And talaq, by very definition, is things becoming disjoined. Right? Moving apart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to join. Sil man qata'ak, as it comes in the hadith, that join even those people who break with you. Right? What that means is that you go and say sorry to someone. And that person is being even hard. Right? They're not accepting your sorry. Then you still try. Right? You say sorry to your wife. She's still angry. She's still not looking at you. You say sorry. Then you say sorry. And then you say, if you're in a fact, you say sorry 100 times, I'm sorry. Right? And eventually, then she'll melt. She's breaking with you, but you're joining with her. Sil man qatak. Whoever is breaking with you, you join with them. And people think that, why do bad things happen? Imagine if there wasn't people who were breaking relationships with others, who weren't giving you a hard time, then when would you have the opportunity to act on this hadith? If life was a bed of roses, then when would we have that chance to show this type of akhlaq? If someone didn't do something bad to you, if someone continued to do bad to you, then when would you get the opportunity to be the better man? Or be the better woman? These are opportunities. We look at them as bad things, but really they're opportunities for us to become better. So what happens is that the first thing is that a person's sitting there and they're like, okay, what's in it for me, right? Why should I let them go? So you can tell yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy with me. I'll achieve ihsan, that this is the right thing to do. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them anyway on the day of Qiyamah. Why do I need to ruin my heart and hurt myself? You can reason with yourself. And slowly, slowly over time, you can start to make dua for them. And slowly you can get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm ready to forgive them. But after you forgive them, sometimes there's still that lingering feeling, right? And it takes time. So even after the off, there's something left over, that residual. That residual takes time. But one of the ways that you get over it is by doing this, what we talked about, wasfah, overlooking. You're not ignoring, because you know, somewhere in the back of your subconsciousness, it's still there that they did that. You can't get it out of your mind. You're trying, you forgave them, you got past it, but still keeps on coming back. Oh, they did that, they said that, they keep on, it just keeps on coming. So you know what you do? You recognize that it's there, but you just basically say, it's not that important. What's the big deal? If you're a millionaire, and someone takes a dollar from you, it's not worth your time to go after it. You're like, it's just a dollar. Who cares? Right? I mean, it's not worth the time of day that you keep on going after them. In the same way, if we have spiritual wealth, it's not worth despoiling it for the $1 that you're going to get for holding hift against another person. Even if you're right, what do you get out of it? You just have to, you recognize it is there, but you see, you know, it's not a big deal. And the way that you do this is you look at it for what it is. How do you act on this ruling of wasfah? What you have to do is we talked about taking the thing which had minimal weight, that is usually the initiating event, and how it becomes connected to something which has a lot of weight. The way you do wasfa is you cut that connection. Just connect that connection. So when the wife said that, oh, why do you come home late? You don't have to say that, oh, she has no... We don't have to say that, oh, she has no regard for all the sacrifices that I make for her. That's not what we do. What you say is, you cut that connection. She said, all she says is, why did you come late? She said three words. What's the big deal? As soon as you cut the connection, then it's easy for you to overlook. Because now it's come back to its own reality. It came back to what really happened. For the husband and wife who divorce each other, you come back to the fact that, why is she so angry at me? Why am I so angry at her? It's because I left the toothpaste open. And I should be more considerate in the future. Or I left the toothpaste open. And then you think, is it really worth a tube of toothpaste to get divorced to someone who I've been married for 20 years? So when a person is able to do that, then you're able to overlook. Right? Then you're able to let go. Because as long as that connection exists, it's too much to let go. Right? It's too much to overlook. So the real take-home message for this week is to look into our own hearts and see who we have any type of bad feeling towards that person. Right? Our hearts should be like shining mirrors. In fact, so much, this is how Rasulullah says, heart, and if you feel that it cannot be, it can be. And once your heart becomes like that, you become so careful that you get let any bad feeling come towards another human being. One time, Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned something about another individual in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I'm not mistaken. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that person was doing something bad in the community or whatever. And then, or there was something ill about him. It was like a bad trait within that individual. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, don't say that. And then the reasoning he gave, he said that I like that when I go to meet a person, that I meet them with an open heart. I like when meeting every person that he met with, munafiq, mushrik, kafir, wali, sahabi, he met them with a clean heart. And when you sit with people who have clean hearts, you yourself feel liberated. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, one of my mashayikh, people love him so much, is he doesn't judge people. No, everyone's filthy. Everyone's messed up. I'm messed up. I mean, everyone makes mistakes. Right? I mean, there's only two types of people. There's people who make mistakes and know it, and people who make mistakes and don't know it. There's just two categories of people. And so, the people who are sometimes cognizant of their mistakes, they're scared to go in front of mashayikh. They're scared to go in front of ulama, because then they're going to say that he's going to look at me with that eye that, oh, you do that. Right? But the beauty about that one shaykh, I mean, of course, mashayikh are generally like that, but the real, from the inside, he doesn't even feel it, that you're anything less. He just sees you as a person. You have struggles, I have struggles, let's talk. Right? And people like that. People don't like it when you come to them and you look down at them. People don't want to get judged. Right? And the same reason they don't like to get judged is because when a person is judging you, they're at a very subtle level, there's some type of ill will there. Right? That's like, if you want to consider it, the lowest level of hiqd. Right? So imagine if the lowest level has that much effect, if you can clean your heart from all the ones above it, how amazing that is. Right? How amazing that is. I mean, it's so unfortunate that you hear kids this day and age that I hate my dad. I hate my mom. Right? I hate so X, Y, and Z. Fine. It's not to say that your parents are perfect. Fully acknowledge that. They make mistakes all the time. They're just as human as you. But if you recognize your own humanity and you're ready to let yourself go so many times, then why don't you let your parents go? They're also just as human. Why don't you let your cousin go? Why don't you let your aunt go? Why don't you let your friends go? Let your wife go. Let your husband go. Let your children go. Let it go. I tell you, when you let go, you feel like you can breathe. You feel like you can breathe. And it just feels right. It just feels right. Now, there are situations. Now, just to be complete, there are situations where you should there that you should have both. There are situations. And it comes in, I believe it's Kitab al-Iman. Al-Hubbu fi Allahi wal-Bughdu fi Allah. That you should love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we hate, we don't hate individuals, we hate the act that they are performing. We don't hate the homosexual, we hate homosexuality. There's a difference. And the basis of that hate is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for the person's nafs. It's not because how they could they do that to me. Because that was the sifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he never got angry for his own self. If someone was going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would show anger. Because that was what was warranted at the time. Not for his own sake. Which is, for example, for parents. Parents might say that my kid is not praying salah. Does that mean, right, that I should say, oh yeah, beta, I just love you. I don't want to have any bad feelings about you. You don't have to pray. It's okay. You should feel bad about it. You shouldn't think that your kid is a loser. You shouldn't think that your kid is a jahannami. You shouldn't think that your kid is just spoiled or evil. You should never stop believing in the person. But you should not like the fact that they don't pray. And you should tell them that they should pray. That's fine. That's hubbu fillahi wal bughdu fillah. But that's different from harboring ill will. Right? So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes us like that sahabi. It's interesting what he said. He said that every night before I go to sleep, I clean my heart. Who was he around? Think about it. Who was he around? He's around Rasulullah. He's around sahabi. He's around his family. It's not like he's sitting here with people in a bar. He's around the sahabi. And on a daily basis, he has to clean his heart. Right? Someone asked me this question in a recent, I was given a halaqah, and they said that, with the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides jealousy, how could you have any feeling against, what were the arguments about? And, one question is that technically, it's actually an important question, that if they felt jealousy and they felt something against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wouldn't that take them out of the fold of Islam? Because you're having a negative feeling against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how's that even possible? The answer to that, the tahqiqi jawab, or the academic jawab, is that the cause of their jealousy was actually their love for Rasulullah. So that's the ayn of the thing that's matlub in the deen. Right? It was just that love got to such an extent that sometimes it would cloud their judgment. So that's exempt. So what I told them is, I gave the example that sometimes I've given in the past, is anytime you place two pieces of matter next to each other and you move them, there's friction. That's a law of nature. It doesn't matter how refined they are, but two pieces of matter, you put them next to each other, there's going to be some friction. In the same way, you put two human beings next to each other, inevitably there's friction. Things happen. The fact that he was doing this on a daily basis shows how many small things might have come up during the day, and the fact that he had to do that on a daily basis to keep clean. And we go months, years, Nisfa Shaban comes, it leaves. Laylatul Qadr comes, it leaves. All these opportunities come and leave, and we don't clean our hearts. We go to the Haram, we go to the Kaaba, and we still find it hard to make dua for those people who had done bad to us. I was really touched. I was sitting with this one brother. He went through such, it was like the marriage from hell, right? This girl, wow. She pulled a knife on. It was really serious situation, reported him to FBI. Really, really gave him a hard time. And he came afterwards and he said, I was sitting with him and he said, after all of that, I still make dua for her. I was really touched. I said, this is the deen. Right? In my heart, I didn't necessarily tell him to his face, but I was just thinking, I said, this is the beauty of the deen, because there's no way in the face of the earth that, any other person you go and tell them, they're find the shortest path to get that person, deported. But he said, I still make dua for them, And I was like, wow, there's still people like that. There's still people like that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us like that, that we're able to repel evil with good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts like shining mirrors towards others and remove any type of ill will and ill feeling, so that the state that we will have in Jannah will also be our state in the dunya. Because that's how people are going to be Jannah. There's no hit. There's no right. That there's just ulfa بين القلوب. لا تجعلنا في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. This if a person wants a Quranic verse from the Quran, Allahumma, oh Allah, لا تجعل or لا تجعل do not make في قلوبنا غل. Do not make this hatred, this hit in our heart. للذين آمنوا for those who believe. ربنا إنك غفور رحيم. You are the one who forgive. We forgive them. Ya Allah, you also forgive us. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah al-Azim. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.